Doorbell rings, he drops a bag outside. When we read the fucking mail, it's a hell of a ride. One for my buddy, two for the show, three orange slices and away we go. Listen to mail, come on, listen to mail. Gilbert and Frank's very amazing colossal mailbag. Colossal mailbag. Colossal mailbag.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre. We're once again at Nutmeg with our engineer Frank Verderosa. And this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
Lovely.
Yes.
You're such a pro.
Yeah.
You're a pro's pro. And our trusty researcher, Paul Rayburn.
Oh, that's what he does.
Well, it's alleged.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
A word we like to use on this show.
He's still looking for that serial killer who liked, this was months ago.
That's right.
I said there was a serial killer who liked Seasons in the Sun.
Right.
And you're still looking.
Well,
for
you can't just do something like that in 2 or 3 months. It takes time.
Where did you come up with that?
He based
his crimes on Seasons in the Sun?
No, he was just a serial killer, but he liked that song.
I thought it was much more sinister and clever than that.
Serial killers have a human side that most people don't appreciate.
I think he should have based his crimes on obscure top 40 singles. Okay, here we go. We're going to do a Twitter episode. We haven't done one of these in a while.
Okay.
We did a Facebook episode recently to appease all of the people, the Facebook people who said, "Hey, you assholes, why don't you do a Facebook episode? I'm not even on Twitter."
Yeah. They had a point.
And they had a point. We did it. That was fun. We'll do it again. Right now, we're going to suck up to the Twitter crowd because tweets, we get them. Let's start here. Aaron Carruthers. Ooh, Aaron Carruthers.
May the sweet bird of happiness.
The sewers of Rangoon. This disturbs me, too, when people tweet at celebrities telling them to do our show.
Oh, yes.
I feel like,
yes.
Hey, Tim Conway. But we take no responsibility. Here's someone tweeting at Jeff Bridges. Can you appear on the podcast with Frank Santopadre and Gilbert? There's history with you and Gilbert. And it makes me wonder, what is someone like Jeff Bridges thinking when they see that?
Yeah.
I have history with Gilbert Gottfried because maybe it's not as important to him as it is to you what happened.
I think Jeff Bridges, 24 hours a day, there's this all-consuming obsession. What is Gilbert doing now?
Damn him. Remember the bit you used to do about the turtle yelling at the...
Oh, yes, yes. still doing.
He's still doing the turtle bit.
I'm tightening up my...
Wasn't it a plastic palm tree?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm tightening up my Gunsmoke episode. My bit.
your Festus material?
Yes.
You're freshening it? This is from The Monster. He's someone who tweets us a lot. He has a lovely Boris Karloff, what is this called, an avatar, Paul? The image on Twitter?
That's just a picture.
A profile pic? Trying to be professional here.
Right.
Trying to join the 21st century. I'm going to see Real Gilbert at the DC Improv tonight. So what do you think, orange or tangerine wedges? Now, people have started bringing you fruit.
Yes.
Is this correct?
Yes.
Is that right?
Two people have already brought me a Joker dolls. And one of them brought me a Joker doll with a little bag of plastic oranges, little oranges.
That's a lot of thought going into this. Did you bring it home?
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
Somebody, I have it on my dresser. They painted me a picture of the Joker bending over and little boys throwing oranges.
Of course, you got that great art from our friend Gene Beretta. You still have that
with
one?
With the Lon Chaney?
No. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes,
the drawing
yes.
Of the,
that
that's
one.
From our friend Gene Beretta. Yeah, and Gene, if you're listening, that one is proudly displayed on Gilbert's credenza. Axe Girl, G-R-R-L. If you ever do a listener contest, the prize should be Gilbert recording their outgoing voicemail message as Old Groucho. There's an idea. People loved Ronnie Schell and the chicken.
Yes.
The Alan Ladd chicken story.
For those of you who may have missed that episode, comic character actor Ronnie Schell said that the old leading man from like the 40s or something.
Yeah, Alan Ladd. This Gun for Hire and...
Yeah, and Shane.
Glass Key.
He swears that Alan Ladd was into gathering a group of attractive women. They'd form a circle, and Alan Ladd would stand naked in the middle of the circle with a live chicken.
Uh-huh.
And then the women would all start dancing around and singing, "You simply got to fuck that chicken!"
That's it.
You do it like Margaret Dumont.
Yes. But it's funny, like all the women in movies sounded that way.
Yes.
They all have
Marie Dressler.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was Ronnie matched us.
Yes.
Our friend John Murray, our occasional, what would you call John? Our theme composer.
One of our theme composers,
along with the great John Fotiadis, set the. Did you hear that? Did I send it? Share it with you?
No.
He set the. Simply got to fuck that chicken. To a. What did he make out of it?
A
theme.
Yeah, he made a
mini theme.
Added a whole band behind the thing.
Oh, great!
And he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You simply got to fuck that chicken. Simply got to fuck that chicken. You simply got to fuck that chicken. You simply got to fuck.
I was on the phone with my ex-girlfriend last night. She said, "I really love the Ronnie Schell episode, but I don't understand what he did with the chickens." He didn't actually have sex with the chickens. What's the point of a ritual of dancing around? How is that in any way erotic? Nancy, I don't know.
But of course, she's overthinking a little bit.
And then Alan Ladd would throw oranges at the chicken's
ass. Really?
Yes.
Peaches Swearingen. I just want to figure out how to make a ringtone out of Ronnie Schell's Alan Ladd chicken song. What I love is the creativity of our listeners. Someone dug out, several people dug out photographs of Alan Ladd in a chicken coop or in a chicken farm.
Chicken hotel.
Chicken hotel. Yeah, the chicken arms. Anthony Chirico, I hope I'm saying his name right, as a paisan I should know this, sends a Photoshop, this is a rare picture of the least favorite Marx brother, Juco, and it's Gilbert. If you guys haven't seen this, check out Anthony's Photoshop. Nice Photoshop.
Oh, yeah.
It's you over Chico. Let's see. Reed Hawkins, a nice compliment. There's more anticipation about who will be Frank and Gilbert's podcast guest on Monday than for the Super Bowl game. Isn't that nice? I love stuff like this. Scott A. Rosenberg tweets, "My dream guest for your show is Gary Portnoy. He is the writer of the themes for Cheers and Mr. Belvedere."
Oh, now here's something.
Odd? Yes.
Okay. One time I was doing some guest spot on some sitcom, and on the studio set, somebody ran in, and they still had Mr. Belvedere on the air.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
Christopher Hewitt.
They said, they're closing down for the day because he had to be taken to the hospital. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, I thought he's a big fat guy. He probably had a stroke or a heart attack. And the word was that he accidentally sat on his balls.
Wait a minute.
Mr.
Belvedere sat on his balls?
Accidentally sat on his balls.
Well, you wouldn't do it on purpose, I guess.
Wow. That's like the worst Hollywood Babylon story ever. Where do you come by this stuff?
Someone told me, and it was on the set.
Yeah.
And I just picture him in his butler outfit.
Someone's
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Now back to the show. We're always talking about doing merch for the show, and it's, you know, it's in the works. Three years later,
I was thinking of making these plastic squash testicles.
Yo, were you?
Yeah.
I was going to say we could do our own Hollywood Babylon coffee table book.
Oh my God!
Forgive me for saying coffee table.
Yeah.
This is from Evan. This is fun trivia. You can look this up, Paul. Hey, in Me and Mrs. Jones, which we talked about, because Billy Paul passed. We had that on the memoriam. There's a tiny sax riff right before Billy starts singing. Listen to it. It's the song Secret Love.
I Had a Secret Love.
Yes.
And that's an old jazz standard.
Can that be?
Once I had a secret love.
Yeah. That's very, very interesting. I love little, what do they call those? Easter eggs, little things like that. Yeah. Let's see. Mrs. Yakafluss. I listen to, she tweets a lot. She's fun. I listen to Real Gilbert and Frank Sensenbrenner. Wonderful show about Mary Tyler Moore. Wonderful tribute. People wrote and didn't realize we had hearts.
Yeah.
So there you go. Furious Cinema. Also, that's a fun Twitter account. He's quoting Howard Kalin, referring to Lulu, who he has no love for, as a short little squat nugget who had no neck. That's because Lulu dissed the Turtles when they first arrived in the UK. Let's see.
Now, he's the one who also, wasn't he the one that told us what a prick John Lennon was?
Although I must say there's been an update on that. Someone sent me an article, which was an interview with the musician in question. I think his name is Jim Tucker. And Jim Tucker has no recollection of John Lennon being unkind to him.
Oh.
So there's a discrepancy. So we have to get to the bottom of that. But yes, that was on Howard's episode.
They do have a recording of John Lennon saying, Jim, would you take a shit on the glass coffee table? I'm going to lie underneath it.
Your John Lennon sounds a little bit like, what was that, Ronald Coleman?
No, then it would be, take your shit on a glass coffee table.
Do it again. Do the Lennon again. I want to place it.
Could you take a shit on a glass coffee table?
Very strange. Not really Liverpudlian. Very strange. Bev wants to know.
I think George said, could you take a shit on the glass coffee table?
This is like this has to turn up in every episode. If we had the Pope in here, he would ask him. Bev, have you guys ever asked John Saxon to appear on the show?
Yeah, we've talked about
him. He's come up. We got to chase him.
I would like to have John, if they're both still alive, John Saxon and Don Gordon.
You want to have them in together?
Yeah, to see if you could tell them apart.
Right.
I could never tell the two apart.
Right. And we'll have we'll have Montel Williams and Lou Gossett come
Yes.
in.
Or like Richard Long and Gig Young.
Right.
R.E.C.D. Lehman.
Tough to book both of those guys at this point. Howard Kalin, Joe Dutra writes, Howard Kalin sounds like Robert Schimmel had a baby with Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Not sure what that means, but I like it. Aaron Alcott, I love the Howard Kalin episode. Howard is funny as hell.
Yeah.
When is the Gilbert Sings the Turtles album? let's hope that doesn't come to that.
I really think you're groovy. Let's go out to
there
a movie.
Adam Lance writes, that was a great episode today. I assume he means the Howard Kalin episode because it was 2 days old. The highlight of the episode was Gilbert's Muppet laugh at an hour and 18. Did you emit a Muppet laugh?
No.
Somebody hacked into the episode and put a Muppet laugh.
Well, yeah. We were hacked by the Russians.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Which Gilbert?
Yeah, that's right.
That I love that.
Okay, so here's a guy.
You know, because I get tweets from Putin.
Do you?
Yes.
We should get Putin.
Yeah.
I think he'd be good. I think he likes old American gangster movies.
I would think so. Mikey Anastasio, is this just more of the incidental nudity that drives Gilbert wild? And he sent us a picture of a nude Walter Matthau playing a piano. Very disturbing.
Well, now I've got a hard-on.
Well, I would like to know what movie that came from. No, I love this one from Bill Schaefer. Frank, no need to warn of the sound quality on the Howard Kalin episode. It was wonderful. Great. Gilbert, on the other hand. terrific, terrific. Let's see who else we have here. I'm flying through these. Craig Peters. Hey, if anyone would know this, you guys would. The name of the laugh-in comedian who went bleh, bleh. Was there a laugh-in comedian?
I remember Saturday Night Live.
Oh, you mean Professor
famous,
Backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
But I don't remember anyone going bleh, bleh.
How did they spell bleh, bleh?
Bleh, B-L-E-H, B-L-E-H.
He won't find it. Yeah. Why is he even trying?
Well, I got to do
he has
something.
No confidence in you. He may be, in fact, thinking of Professor Backwards.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Who used to talk backwards.
Yeah. And so his last words before he died were bleh, bleh.
Right. Was he murdered?
Yeah,
Professor
he's
Backwards?
Being murdered or something like that.
Yeah, that's.
And he's yelling bleh.
That's
bleh.
Interesting trivia. Mark Anthony. I'm hooked on the podcast and I'm watching Boris Karloff and Charlie Chan at the opera.
Oh,
I forgot
geez.
That Karloff played. Charlie Chan.
He played Charlie Chan.
Did he play Charlie Chan?
No,
or was he a villain?
Never played.
I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the other guy that he played.
Fu Manchu. Wasn't
Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu. Yeah.
Yeah. What am I saying? Warner Oland. Corey Van Brook
and Sidney Toler.
Sidney Toler. Oh, Warren. Warner Oland.
And oh, what's his name? Winter. Something Winter.
Yes.
Not Edgar Roland Winter.
Roland Winter.
Yes.
See, we're doing this without you, buddy.
I know. I get so involved in the research, I
forgot
I was on a podcast. All the references I get on Pleh Pleh are
Professor Backwards.
Professor Backwards.
Yeah. Was he murdered?
Was he murdered?
Find that out.
Professor Backwards.
That was an SNL joke based on it.
Yeah.
A famous Weekend Update joke. Corey Van Brookhoven did a nice little graphic tribute to the late Professor Irwin Corey, who we lost at 102. An absolute character.
I think someone killed him.
You do?
Yeah. It sounds awfully suspicious.
I got murders stacked up here to look up now.
Jonathan Phillips tweets, maybe Gilbert as Tony Curtis and Mario as Betty, as Betty Davis can sing happy birthday to you on the podcast. That's very nice. Thank you for the birthday message. I got so many lovely birthday messages from our fans. That was a treat. We'll try to get back to all of them. Okay.
Here, I got something.
Go ahead.
Are we ready? From the Chicago Tribune, AP story in 1976, the housekeeper of television nightclub personality Professor Backwards was charged Monday with armed robbery and murder in the death of the performer.
There you go. Really was murdered.
Whose real name was, any takers? James E. Edmondson.
Of course.
Police said Michelle Ruth Sip, 25, would be arraigned later in the day. How about that?
Wow.
Murdered by his maid.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lesson there.
So that's another creepy, that's one of those stories like Raymond Navarro.
Yes.
And who was the one that you guys like to talk about with Dana Gould?
Oh, there's also Albert Dekker.
Albert Dekker.
That was
this underscores the point that every story told on this show is true. We've got proof, right?
See?
Yes, yeah, every story told is true.
Right.
Yeah, we pride ourselves.
And I heard that Albert Dekker, the girls on the table, the shit would go into their asses. It was all going backwards.
Which isn't easy.
Yes.
Now you've confused Professor Backwards with Albert Decker. Now you've done it. Let's see. Hilarious. Peter Gosh, G-H-O-S-H, Gosh.
Gosh.
On G-G-A-C-P, that's us. Your In Memoriam song episode caused people to stare at me on the train as I laughed uncontrollably. I'm going to guess that's about your singing.
That was a very reverential episode.
Yes. We're nothing if not reverential. Let's see. These are a lot of birthdays. If you have Ash, someone simply calling themselves Ash, if you have not already reached out, please consider booking James Hampton. You remember James Hampton? He was Trooper Dobbs on F Troop.
Oh, my God.
He's
yes.
in The Longest Yard and a couple of other films.
Oh, we have to get all the living cast members of F
Troop. Of F Troop? Well, how many are there? There's Ken Berry we had.
Yeah, and Larry Storch.
And we lost Melody Patterson.
Yeah.
And I think Crazy Cat's gone.
Yeah.
And Frank Dacova is gone.
And it's a safe bet, Tom Steele.
Here's Bob Steele.
Bob Steele.
He was 90 then.
Wow.
Here's a good one. Bill Chuck writes, perfect fodder for the Real Gilbert podcast. Judy Garland was repeatedly molested by Munchkins. And this is what we were talking about. This is really sick. That apparently, there was a posthumous memoir published by Sid Luft, one of Judy's husbands, which is odd because he died in 2005.
Yeah.
So why a new memoir is being released, and Paul, you can look this up, claims that the Munchkins, and you've heard this, that they were horny and drunk.
They would put their hands under her dress.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was like an underage Judy.
She was 16.
Yeah.
She was 16. Yeah.
So they were feeling her up.
And, you know, you hear the stories. I'm reading the article, and someone says, it may have been according to the memoir, that they were drunk all the time. They were running around. They would catch them with butterfly nets.
And Chevy
Chase. I hope is true.
Chevy Chase, what was that, the other side?
Under the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah, Under the Rainbow. He was saying they had a few of the originals there. And he said they were drunk farting Munchkins.
Yeah. Yeah. Although that is being disputed.
That they farted?
No. No. One of the Munchkins, I think she passed. One of the Munchkins, I can't even get this out. It's so bizarro. We should do a whole episode.
She passed gas. Yeah.
We should do a whole episode about Wizard of Oz oddities because
yes.
there's a whole like the myth,
guy hanging,
the myth of the Munchkin, the hanging Munchkin.
They believe one Munchkin hung himself. Commit suicide,
right.
And you could see his body hanging from a tree.
Right. There's a lot of, apparently, there's a lot of strange mythology.
About the Munchkins.
It's not specifically the Munchkins, but about Wizard of Oz.
And,
about
yeah. and none of them could fart. They were born.
I found a few things I know
there's
you can't live without on James Hampton.
Okay,
first
hit
of
me.
All,
that's just all you came up with was James Hampton?
Yeah, well, but,
oh,
but
you
here's
got,
the thing.
You got he, Professor you, Backwards.
You that's right.
We'll give you that one.
He got, what you probably don't know is that in 1978, he played Captain Anderson in The Cat from Outer Space.
Well, I think Ronnie Schell's in that one. And you
is
could,
that really you've
you
heard could, of the cat from Outer
of course
Space?
I think Ken Berry
was also
Ken
he,
Berry's
he was
in
also
it.
In The Man Who Loved Cat Dancing.
Well,
he had a cat
he had a cat thing.
Career yeah
the
cat
man
thing.
Who loved cat dancing was a Burt Reynolds movie with I believe Sarah Miles. Do you remember Sarah Miles?
Oh, yes
she did that graphic sex scene with Kris Kristofferson, the sailor who fell from grace with the sea.
Yeah,
you know what I'm referring
yeah,
to
yeah
of course you do.
He was also in Police Academy 5, and that's probably quite a bit more about James Hampton than the listeners.
I'd like to do we'll do a mini episode about Burt Reynolds movies, but it's a lot of interesting Burt Reynolds movies in the 70s.
He would do.
That was one of them.
It was so
Man
weird.
Man Who Loved Cat Dancing.
Because he'd go from doing quality movies to absolute shit.
Well, he'd do things like Lucky Lady for Stanley Donen.
Yeah.
You know, and prestige projects, although it bombed, At Long Last Love for Nickelodeon for our former guest Peter Bogdanovich. And but then he'd do 15 car crash movies.
Deliverance was a classic.
Deliverance was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was fabulous in
that. Yeah. We'll do something on that going forward. But do me a favor. Tell me if Ronnie Schell is also in The Cat from Outer Space.
I can do that.
As I wrap this up. and Johnny Ray, who I believe you roasted. I believe Johnny Ray was one of the people who purchased a Patreon roast.
Okay.
And you tore him a new one. Thank you for having Bill Persky on. Such a treat to hear his stories, and I look forward to more. Bill is great and a gentleman, and he will love hearing that.
The cat from outer space?
Hit me.
Ronnie Shell.
Hey, I don't.
Ronnie Shell.
Come on now.
Roddy McDowell.
Is Ken Berry in it? Sandy Duncan.
Ken Berry. Sandy Duncan. I'll give you the whole list. Ronnie, Ken Berry, Sandy Duncan.
I'm so sorry.
Harry Morgan. Roddy McDowell. McLean Stevenson.
Wow.
What a cast.
What a cast in The Cat from Outer Space.
And the music by, he came
don't
up
tell
earlier
me.
Tonight.
Don't tell me.
The music is by.
The new Christy Minstrels? Just wanted to say that.
Yeah. Lalo Schifrin.
You serious?
Oh, Lalo my God. Schifrin.
Yeah. Lalo Schifrin.
Wow.
We should, and we talked about doing a movie themes episode, talking about people like Henry Mancini.
We're going to do that.
Jerry Goldsmith. We'll do that. You have to research that.
Henry Mancini also did a lot of these cheap sci-fi pictures.
Yes,
before
I think
he
did some for Corman.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
You know, who? Maybe I said this before, but when I started looking into the themes, Lost in Space.
Yeah.
Remember that
John
theme
Williams.
From that one?
Yeah. John Williams.
John Williams.
Yeah,
I think one of his first things.
Love those. There's a great YouTube video of a couple of kids, a couple of young people playing the Star Wars theme outside of John Williams' home. and he comes out of the house to talk to them. It's a great, sweet
clip. It's interesting. People should go back and listen to the Lost in Space theme. I did not hear any hint of the greatness that was going to come from him. It's quite a cheesy.
I must take issue with that.
Okay.
I take umbrage.
Take
as a matter of fact.
Take your umbrage.
The second Lost in Space theme, and there were two. The second one kicks ass. And
I must have listened to the first. Okay,
Frankie, can you take us out with the second Lost in Space theme by John Williams? You're going to have to do a little research to not play the first one.
Dun, dun, da, 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 that kind of thing.
The first
right?
one.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Come on, stick with me, Paul. Have I ever led you astray? We're going to go out on this great John Williams Lost in Space theme that Frankie's going to find.
Oh, and Billy Mummy, of course, Lost in Space.
Billy Mummy.
One of our guests.
Billy Mummy.
Yeah.
Just had a birthday.
Who hated Alfred Hitchcock.
He did. All right, sir.
Oh,
I'm out of tweets, unless you want to hear 30 birthday tweets.
Oh, yes. Well, this
keep
is,
them coming. Keep the gifts coming and the Photoshops
and everything else. This has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing, colossal obsession.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Paul. Now check out this theme song.
What are you thanking Paul for?
Well, he came all this way.
It's amazing.
It's better.
And this is John Williams.
Yep.
John Williams.
It has such a John Williams sound to it.
Well, this is the thing. The first theme doesn't have anything like a John Williams.
I told you the second one has it all over the first one.
What happened to him between the first and the second theme? It's amazing.
It's so funny. It just reeks of a John Williams composition.
Yeah.
Big finish.
Oranges lie. Have a finishes.
Listen, I'm mad.
Listen up.